Now, the Children and Young Persons Amendment Bill, which is being introduced before New South Wales Parliament, has stirred up controversy in the last few days. The bill hopes to improve the welfare of children at risk who are placed into foster homes by getting these children out of state care and into permanent homes. However, a rule requiring this must be done within 2 years and that guardianship orders can be made outside of court has some worried that the bill may be doing more harm than good. Now, to discuss this, I'm joined by Brooke Greenwood, solicitor at the Aboriginal Legal Service and Public Interest Advocacy Service. Hey, Brooke, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Julia.
So just for those who haven't heard of the bill, can you just give us a rundown of what it is actually proposing?
Yes, and I should say that it passed the upper house last night without amendments, so it's looking likely to be passed in its full form today or next week by the lower house. And we have a number of concerns about the bill. So what the bill intends to do, I think the intentions behind this bill are good, and it intends to ensure that children are placed in permanent placements, stable placements, as quickly as possible. But what that risks comes at a really high risk, because those placements are permanent, and they remove some really important judicial and government oversights for children, and in particular have an impact on, we think will have a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children who are vastly overrepresented in care.
Mm. And so part of the legislation is that children are settled into a permanent home within 2 years. Why should we be concerned about this time limit?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. So we're concerned that making fast-tracking removals into permanent placements without doing more to ensure that families in crisis are supported to care for their children just isn't what's needed to change a system that's really failing vulnerable kids. And we're concerned about the two-year time limit for a number of reasons. So, and I just might explain it for a little bit further.
Yep.
So the time limit, I guess, restricts the court to considering whether a child who's been removed from their family can be restored to that family within a maximum period of 2 years. And that makes it harder for parents who are in crisis situations, struggling to access the services that they need to address their issues, potentially struggling to access housing, rehabilitation services. It makes it harder for them to potentially achieve restoration of their children. And we think that 2 years is just a very short time to enable some of those changes to occur. And it also really restricts the court's ability to make decisions about what's in the best interest of each child on a case-by-case basis. And that time limit is also matched with other reforms, in particular a reform that expands the circumstances in which adoption can occur without parental consent. And so it's the combination of those reforms and the lack of anything in that bill to really ensure that families are supported and to avoid removal in the first place that really has us concerned.
Mm. And so Community Legal Centres New South Wales have suggested the bill is reminiscent of a stolen generation. You've kind of just alluded to it then. Does the bill disproportionately hurt Aboriginal children?
Well, I think we have to be aware that Aboriginal children are vastly overrepresented in the child protection system. In New South Wales, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are taken into care at around 10 times the rate of non-Indigenous children. And we need to be, of course, particularly sensitive to the disadvantage suffered by Aboriginal communities and also the impacts of the stolen generation. Many of the families where children are removed, parents have been part of the child protection system themselves, and maybe their parents or grandparents have also experienced or were members of the stolen generation. So we see very clearly the intergenerational impacts of that trauma, and I'm very concerned about the emotional impact of this for many Aboriginal people and communities, particularly given that these laws have been rushed through without meaningful consultation and without Aboriginal organisations and communities really having a chance to comment on or be consulted on some really significant changes.
Mm. And why do you think the Parliament isn't taking its time with such an important decision?
Well, it's a very good question. There's really no reason that this bill couldn't be referred to a committee process to allow Aboriginal organisations and community organisations that have raised concerns about this bill to comment on the proposals, to make suggestions for amendments that might see the best parts of the bill move forward but amend some of the aspects that we're most concerned about. And that that argument was made in the debates last night in the upper house and it was rejected. And so we're really at a loss to know why I guess the government isn't prepared to allow the community organisations and the Aboriginal organisations that have raised concerns an opportunity to be heard before passing such significant changes.
And so what amendments do they need to respond to in terms of the needs of these children and families? What is needed specifically?
Well, I think one of the main things that's needed to improve these bills is to correct the balance between ensuring permanency for children, which we all want to happen. We all want to address circumstances in which children enter care and then experience multiple unstable placements or are funneled into residential care, which we know has damaging impacts for their wellbeing. So we all want that. We want permanency and stability for children. But what isn't reflected in this bill and what could be changed easily is to increase the assistance and support that's provided to families to ensure that children aren't removed in the first place and also to assist them to achieve restoration once the removal has taken place. And we had proposed as part of the Community Legal Centres New South Wales, PIAC, the Aboriginal Legal Service and other Aboriginal organisations have been proposing changes, amendments to this legislation that would increase the accountability on the government to support families and increase the ability of the court to have oversight over that support to make orders for further support to be provided to families who are experiencing crisis so that children can remain with their families. And we know that if it's permanency that we want to achieve for families, permanency is best achieved by keeping kids with their families.
Well, hopefully we can achieve this. And as you said, it's more of a reactive approach than a proactive one. Kind of, we need to get back to the initial problems. So thank you so much for talking to us today, Brooke. It's been enlightening. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia.